Welcome to ID the Future, a podcast about intelligent design and evolution.
Hello, and thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Andrew McDermott. What's the relevance of intelligent design and evolution to the novel coronavirus? Today, my guest is molecular biologist Jonathan Wells, a senior fellow at Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. Dr. Wells holds a PhD in molecular and cell biology from the University of California at Berkeley, as well as a PhD in religious studies from Yale University. He has previously worked as a postdoctoral research biologist at UC Berkeley and as supervisor of a medical laboratory in Fairfield, California. He also taught biology at California State University in Hayward and continues to lecture on the subject. His latest book is Zombie Science, More Icons of Evolution. Jonathan, welcome back to ID the Future.
It's a pleasure to be here, Andrew.
Well, as you're well aware, the world is currently battling a coronavirus pandemic. As of today, more than 1.2 million people have been infected globally, with the U.S. now leading the world's tally with more than 330,000 reported cases so far. About half of the world is in some sort of lockdown or shelter-in-place order, and it sounds like we still have a tough journey ahead of us as we try to flatten the infection rate curve, pursue effective treatments, and begin to recover from it all. First, I hope you're managing to stay safe and healthy at the moment. How are you doing?
We're actually fine here, Andrew. Thanks for asking. My family and I are doing well.
I thought we'd start by reminding listeners what a coronavirus is, as well as what it isn't, genetically speaking.
Coronaviruses are a group of RNA viruses. That is, they have RNA at their core instead of DNA. The RNA is coated with a protein that enables the RNA to be injected into a cell, a living cell. Viruses are not living organisms. They don't metabolize. They don't carry on the functions needed to sustain life. And they don't reproduce themselves. They have to be copied by a living cell. So the virus injects itself into a cell, and then the cell makes copies of the virus and releases those copies to the surroundings.
Okay, and as I understand it, this is one of many coronaviruses that have been around for a long time. This one, though, seems to have jumped from an animal to a human.
That's quite possible. The origin of the current coronavirus, which the official name is SARS-CoV-2, but I'm just going to refer to it as coronavirus for simplicity. Its origins are uncertain. Many people think it jumped from an animal to a human in the so-called wet markets of China. Some people still believe that it was produced in a microbiology lab in Wuhan and accidentally escaped. I've seen arguments on both sides. I have not seen evidence to conclusively settle the matter either way.
Well, you recently shared your view on the coronavirus at our flagship news and commentary site, Evolution News, and I'd like to chat about your comments there. The first thing you mention, as you're stating, is the theory that some hold that this 2019 virus is somehow a product of human design. Where did that idea come from?
Well, I'm not sure where the idea came from, but it has been argued, started out, I think, in the New York Post, but then an article came out in Nature arguing against that, but then other people have since argued for it. So I don't know if it's a product of design or not. It could very well be a product of evolution, that is, mutation and natural selection. So the origin of the virus is still uncertain.
Yeah, and as you're saying, some contend that the coronavirus evolved from another coronavirus by mutation and natural selection mechanisms. Is that possible, then?
I think so. Although the exact route is not known to me, or I think anybody else. Incidentally, in my article for Evolution News and Science Today, I mistakenly referred to the coronavirus as a DNA virus, when as in fact, as I said a minute ago, it's an RNA virus. Doesn't make it any more or less deadly. I mean, it's a dangerous virus no matter how you look at it, but it's a technicality.
Sure. What are some of the unique challenges that medical professionals and scientists are facing because we haven't really gone through something like this before? Are they kind of learning as they go?
Oh, I think so. We certainly have had pandemics before. The flu in 1918 is most famously quoted or referred to. We had the SARS epidemic in 2003, which was a coronavirus. but it was a much less serious epidemic. Obviously, this one is more than we've ever seen in our experience. The world has pretty much shut down in many places, and it's very strange, very eerie here where I live. We don't yet have a vaccination to prevent the disease. We don't yet have effective ways of treating it.
Yeah. Also makes it hard when there's so many speculations as to how it's being transmitted, how it's being spread.
Yes. Well, I think there's plenty of circumstantial evidence that it's spread from person to person. And so it's wise to avoid crowds. There's still controversy over whether masks are helpful. There's still controversy over whether wearing gloves to the store is helpful. It seems to be universally agreed that a lot of hand washing is helpful. I agree with that. I used to be a medical professional myself, a laboratory technologist, and thorough hand washing is helpful in a case like this. But we don't yet have an effective treatment.
Well, I'm really glad to be talking to you in particular today about this, because you've spent much of your career helping people understand the differences between micro and macro evolution, a very important distinction. Is this coronavirus evidence of Darwinian or macro evolution?
In my opinion, no. In the 1930s, Darwinian evolutionary biologist Theodosius Dobzhansky distinguished between microevolution and macroevolution. Microevolution refers to minor changes within existing species, and that certainly happens. We can see that everywhere. We can see it in the human species. Macroevolution refers to the origin of new species, organs, and body plans, not just minor changes within existing species. Well, Darwin did not write a book in 1859 titled How Existing Species Change Over Time. Nobody would have noticed. I mean, it's a foregone conclusion. Instead, he wrote a book titled The Origin of Species. And he had a hypothesis that he thought explained the origin of new species, new organs, and new body plans. In fact, everything we see in living things. Is the coronavirus an example of macroevolution? I think not. There's several problems. One is that I referred to a minute ago. Viruses are not living organisms. Macroevolution is about living organisms. Second of all, species is not even defined the same way among viruses as it is in living organisms. So it would be very difficult to say we're looking at the origin of a new species. A new virus, certainly, but a new species, I think not. And certainly, of course, not a new organ or a new body plan.
Yeah.
So I think this is an example of, if anything, it's an example of microevolution rather than macroevolution.
Well, you know that the measures being taken against the 2019 coronavirus pandemic owe nothing to evolutionary theory. Can you give us a few examples that you stated in your comments about what you mean by that?
Sure. The background of this is that many Darwinists argue that nothing in medicine makes sense except in the light of evolution. You cannot be a good doctor, you cannot effectively treat disease unless you first understand evolution, Darwinian evolution. I think that's completely false. When we look at the measures being taken in the current pandemic, the first one is quarantine, or social distancing, or isolation. Well, the practice of quarantine started in the 14th century, long before Darwin. How about vaccinations, which we don't have yet for this coronavirus, but we're working on? Vaccinations started before 1800. When Edward Jenner vaccinated people against smallpox, long before Darwin came along. How about hand washing? Well, the pioneer for hand washing is generally conceded to be Ignaz Semmelweis, who in 1847 showed that effective hand washing can prevent or greatly lower the spread of disease. Again, before Darwin. Another thing that we use now is, in severe cases, is oxygen to treat difficulty in breathing. Well, oxygen was given to patients for that reason in the years following Darwin's Origin of Species, but the people who started using oxygen did not do it on evolutionary grounds. They did it on clinical grounds because it worked. So the major mechanisms we're using against the coronavirus owe nothing at all to evolutionary theory.
That's very interesting to look back at the history of those measures that we're also familiar with now. Well, how do we view the novel coronavirus through the lens of intelligent design? Is ID useful in helping us end this pandemic?
Well, I'm not aware of anyone using intelligent design theory against the disease, but I will say that the measures being taken to combat the disease are based on intelligent design. Virologists, biochemists, clinicians, they intelligently design the methods they're using and will use to fight the disease. They don't depend on accidental variations and survival of the fittest. They intelligently employ methods that they think will work, that are designed to work.
Well, Dr. Wells, I want to thank you for your time today. It's really helpful to have your perspective on the challenges we're facing right now.
Very happy to do so, Andrew.
You can learn more about Jonathan Wells' work and writing at jonathanwells.org. That's jonathanwells.org. And find out about other episodes of ID the Future wherever podcasts are found, or via idthefuture.com. And if you have a minute, consider posting a positive rating and review of the show on your preferred podcast platform. This is a great way to help us reach new listeners and share the powerful arguments and ideas you hear discussed regularly on the show. Until next time, guard your health and enjoy your home in this unique season. I'm Andrew McDermott for ID the Future. Thanks for listening.
This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org and idthefuture.com.